Our theme for this Christmas morning service has been advertised as this: more than just a gift. More than just a gift. And that title comes from John Lewis's Christmas advert, which you may have seen this year. In that advert, and there are many other shops that you can go and buy your Christmas presents from, but in the John Lewis advert this year, it traces back from the present day the remarkable career of Elton John, the British singer-songwriter. And he traces back his career singing in wonderful palaces all over the world, really, and on wonderful stages, to a time when, as a small boy, he raced downstairs in his pyjamas on Christmas Day to unwrap a present which I think his mum and his aunt and his grandma had clubbed together to buy him. And that gift was a piano. And on that Christmas morning, the gift started a career which went on to touch the world. And the little strap line at the end of the advert is, some gifts are more than just a gift. That one gift, the one piano, has come to touch the whole world through the undoubted gifts of Elton John. One gift with far-reaching consequences. And I hope you can see how that theme can be applied to the very heart of Christmas. At the heart of Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ. And he, as we shall see, is a gift. That's how I'm encouraging you to think of him this morning. That's what the Bible says about him. He is a gift, but he's a gift with far-reaching consequences, because he's more than just a gift. The first thing I want you to do is this. I want you to try and recognise the truth that he is a gift. You see, for many of us here this morning, that's not difficult to imagine, is it? We see that, but it's not so easy for others, is it? Not everybody recognises that Jesus Christ is a gift. In fact, when they think about Christmas and the gifts, they think about the gifts that they're giving to others. Or they think about the gifts that they're going to receive. And if you ask them to think about Christmas in terms of a gift, then the only link they might make between a gift and the first Christmas is the gifts that the wise men brought, of gold and frankincense and myrrh. What I want to try and encourage you to do this morning is to see that Jesus is a gift, to encourage you to think in those terms. Otherwise, you may miss the whole point of Christmas. You see, in our memory verse there, a child is born. A son is given. Can you see? These words are written 700 years before Jesus was born by the prophet Isaiah. But he's speaking of a son who's going to be given. Jesus is a gift. And pretty amazing, isn't it, that somebody spoke about him 700 years before he was born. The most famous verse in the Bible is John chapter 3 and verse 16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave. What does he give? He gives a gift. His only begotten son is a gift. Jesus Christ is a gift. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I want you to think of Jesus this morning as a gift. And you might already have gone way ahead of me to say, well, he's also special because he's a gift from God, isn't he? He's not just a precious gift on his own, but he's a gift because he's a gift from God. I sometimes take this into school assemblies with me at Christmas time. Here's a poster. And it says on the poster, it's clearly a gift, it says, Jesus, the greatest gift. And there in the name tag, which I show to the youngsters, it says, love God, and the kiss. And that reminds us that God sent the gift of his only begotten son because he so loved the world. Can you see that he's a gift? And he's more than just a gift because he's a gift that's been sent from God, his Father, and sent in love. That's the first thing. The second thing is that he's an unusual gift, isn't he? He's strange. I mean, normally you're given toys, aren't you, to play with, or chocolate to eat, or a jumper to wear. Jesus Christ is a very strange gift. If we ever think about God and gifts, we might think, well, God's given me the gift of life. He's given me the gift of health and strength and family and food and friends. Ah, yes, but 2,000 years ago, he gave the gift of a living person. He gave the gift of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. That's rather strange, isn't it? Quite bizarre, quite odd. He's a gift, but he's an unusual gift. In fact, he's more than unusual. He is unique. No one else has ever given me the gift of a living person as a gift. But God has. And there's other odd things about this gift, the gift of Jesus, I'd like just to mention this morning. One is what we mentioned earlier on. This gift was prophesied about 700 years before it was given. In fact, as Ian showed us at the carol service, God had promised to send this gift not only 700 years, but 1,000 years, and 2,000 years, and 4,000 years, and even before time began. It was in the heart of God always to send the gift of his Son. Now just think of those verses from Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born. That's like somebody standing up today and knowing from the mind of God the birth and the place and the name of somebody who's going to be born in 2718, 700 years in advance. That's how unusual this gift is. Planned from before the beginning of time. The centerpiece of God's goodness to the whole human race is the gift of Jesus. That's odd, isn't it? Spoken of all those years ago. It's odd, secondly, that as we heard on Sunday, the birth is by virgin conception. Jesus didn't have a human father. We're definitely in the realm of the supernatural. What was conceived in the womb of Mary was the work of God the Holy Spirit, without the agency of a human father. That was necessary that the one born would be without a sinful nature. But he makes it an odd gift, doesn't it? Promised all those years ahead by a virgin conception, then announced by angels to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds. Many years ago, I was the maternity services manager of a hospital, and we had 5,600 births a year. I don't recall any of them ever being announced by angels. There were some odd adverts in the paper, some odd announcements, but nothing by angels. Yet the birth of Jesus was surrounded by announcements of angels. And if you notice, fourthly, the odd visitors. I mean, the labour ward or the postnatal ward was filled with the local shepherds and presumably some of their sheep. And they were followed sometimes later, perhaps 2 years later, by wise men from the east, wearing very strange garments. It's all rather odd, isn't it, this gift 2,000 years ago? And then fifthly, remember the local king at the time, Herod, he ordered the massacre of all the baby boys around the vicinity of Bethlehem who were 2 years or under in an attempt to kill Jesus the Christ. That's a very strange thing to take place, isn't it? But that's because I'm showing you firstly here this morning one who the Bible says is clearly a gift, and secondly, trying to encourage you to think, well, yeah, but he's an unusual gift, isn't he? He certainly is. In fact, he's a unique gift. And that's why, thirdly and finally this morning, I want to just show you in what other ways he's more than just a gift. Don't miss out on Jesus Christ in your life. He is a gift. He is a unique gift. And he's more than just a gift in these ways. You see, in our reading, we read these words, "As many as received him." You see, he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. That's the language of a gift, isn't it? There were those who didn't receive the gift, and there were those who did receive the gift. To receive is to take a thing in order to use it, to take it and make it your very own. But we read this, "As many as received him," so they received the gift of him by believing in him, "to them he gave the right to become children of God." So in receiving the gift of Jesus, there's more gifts attached to receiving him, because he then gives you other gifts. And the one gift that's spoken of here is that he gives you the right to become a child of God. Can you see how he's more than just a gift? He's a gift that gives you other gifts. And he's the gift that keeps on giving. Now that's astonishing, because he himself is the greatest gift. Have you recognized this morning that these words that were read a few moments ago make perfectly clear that the one who became flesh was God? So there was no ordinary visitor 2,000 years ago to Bethlehem. Jesus Christ claims, the Bible states and Christians believe, that Jesus Christ is no one less than God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. One of the names that Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be called is Emmanuel. And that word means this, God with us. What does that tell us about Jesus? It tells us that he's God. I very much recommend Mark Jones's book, Knowing Christ. And it just so happens this morning that one of my readings was chapter 4, Christ's Incarnation. And as I read it, I thought, oh, I wish I was preaching on that. Have you seen the wonder of Jesus Christ? He's fully God and he's fully man. He's one person, but he has two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. And I just thought I'd read you these words. This is the great mystery of the Christian faith, that man's maker, the one who made us, was made man. That he, the ruler of the stars, might nurse at his mother's breast. That the bread of life might hunger. That the fountain of life might thirst. And as he says on the previous page, Jesus drank from his mother's breasts while providing his mother with the milk to feed him. One little thought, but a staggering thought, isn't it? Jesus drank from his mother's breasts, and Jesus provided his mother with the milk to feed him. He's the greatest gift. But in receiving him, as we finish, let me notice these things for you. You receive him, the greatest gift, but you receive, number one, something that you don't already have. I don't know whether you opened a present this morning and thought, oh, I've already got that. I think my whole life has been traumatized by my 9th birthday party, when I opened a gift, and it was Jack Straws. Anybody here old enough to remember Jack Straws? Yeah? Those little creamy, coloured plastic things. You got a crutch and a hoe and a spade, and you put them all down, and you had to pull them out without disturbing the others. Well, I opened this present on my 9th birthday. I thought, marvellous! I'd seen other people with this game, and I loved it. And then I opened my next present, which looked very similar on the outside to the one I just opened, and it was Jack Straws. I thought, fancy getting me something I'd already got. And I put it down, I opened the next present, and it was another box of Jack Straws. And I thought, fancy getting me something I'd already got. We wrapped it up and gave it to somebody else for their birthday. But in receiving the gift of Jesus, you receive something that you don't already have. And the Bible says that what you receive by receiving Jesus, here it says, is membership of his family. He gives you the right to be called children of God. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're adopted into his family. You are not in his family before you receive the gift. You're outside of his family. The Bible says that we're all born in sin. Not one of us here has kept God's standards at all, even come close. Nobody here has come close to loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. We're born in sin. We're rebels against God. We're born in unbelief. We don't want him to rule over us. We think we know better. We're very self-satisfied, thank you. But receive the gift of Jesus and you come into his family. Linked with that, another dimension, the same thing. You could say when you receive Jesus, you receive the gift of everlasting life. That's in the most famous verse of the Bible, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him would not perish. If we don't believe in him, we will perish. We will face the punishment forever for our sins. But the gift of God is everlasting life, which is to know him and to love him and to enjoy him every moment of your life. That's what everlasting life is. And you're not born with that. You forfeited your right to that by your sin. But in coming to faith in Jesus, you not only receive him, but through him you receive membership into his family forever and everlasting life. Secondly, you receive something that you most need, which is forgiveness of your sins. You see, our sins separate us from God. They render us rightly to be under his condemnation and his judgment. And he will judge and he will punish. The Bible is very clear that there's a heaven and there's a hell. So in the Lord Jesus Christ is everything that you need, the thing that you most need. But our proud hearts find that hard to accept. You're telling me I need to be forgiven my sins? That's exactly what I'm telling you, yes. You're telling me that my sins separate me from God and I'll be punished forever? That's exactly what Jesus says, yes. Let me show you this way. Imagine that your very wealthy neighbours came round on Christmas morning and brought you a huge box, wonderfully bound up. And inside was a present on which they spent £5,595. Imagine your neighbour comes round with a present, £5,595, and when you rip open the present, I mentioned this at a carol service years ago, it's an exercise bike. But it's not an ordinary exercise bike, it's a Life Fitness Platinum Cold Series Recumbent Life Cycle Exercise Bike with Discover SE Tablet Console, which costs £5,595. And you thank them very much so as not to disappoint them, and you smile at them, and when they go out you think, I wish they'd just give me the money. And you're offended at what they bought you. Now, they're telling you that you need to lose some weight and to get fit. You go and look at yourself in the mirror and there's double chins on double chins and your waistline's never quite been where it is and is continuing to expand, but you're too proud to admit that you need the exercise bike. And you're too lazy to do anything about it. And so because you're offended, you never got on that bike, it sits there forever and it's never really received. Isn't that the same with Jesus and forgiveness of sin? He gives us what we most need, but to begin with, when we hear that, we rebel against it. You're telling me I need that? Yes, we all need that more than anything else. God wouldn't send someone who wouldn't meet our deepest need. Our real need is to be right with God through faith in Jesus. So you receive something you don't already have. You receive something that you most need. You receive something that money can't buy. You can't buy your way into heaven, you can't buy your way into God's family, you can't buy your way into eternal life or forgiveness of sin. Your only opportunity to receive those things is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Money can't buy it. And lastly, it's something that you can never deserve or earn either. None of us deserve forgiveness of sins. None of us deserve everlasting life. And none of us have ever earned those things by being good or becoming religious or by being moral. That's not the way we receive eternal life. The way that God has said we receive eternal life is simply through turning from our sin and our unbelief and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you receive the greatest gift of him and everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. God has said the wages of sin is death, that's what we deserve, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved from your sin. You'll have and enjoy everlasting life. You'll be adopted into his family. You see, he came into this world to secure all of those rich gifts for everybody who would believe. And he secured them by laying down his life, not on the manger, but on the wooden cross, where he died as a sacrifice for our sins to remove the barrier between God and us, which is our sin. And he so loved us, though he never sinned, he went to the cross and faced the punishment, the Father's wrath and anger upon the sins of others, which was counted against him. Nothing less will satisfy God in terms of cleansing us from our sin. Our sin is so serious, it needs God to come as a human being and to die for us. Can you see in what other ways he's more than just a gift? He's God in the flesh. He gives you something that you don't have. Forgiveness and everlasting life. He gives you what you most need. Forgiveness of sin. He gives you something that money can't buy and something that you can never earn or deserve. And in closing this morning, I simply want to say that, you know, none of those things, not forgiveness, not everlasting life, not being adopted into his family, none of those things are yours if you continue to reject him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. They left him as an unopened gift. Maybe for another time. But the time to receive him is now. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Turn from your sin and your unbelief and you will receive everlasting life. You will enter, even here this morning, into a completely new life, into a relationship with him that will never, ever end. In which you come to know him as a reality and to enjoy him daily. In which your sins are all forgiven and you are welcomed into the family of God. That's why Jesus Christ is more than just a gift. Because in him and in him alone are found the richest gifts the world will ever know. Gifts that transform an individual's life for an eternity. On Christmas morning, 1745, Dolly Byron came down and received a lovely gift from her father. Those words that we sang in our opening hymn, penned just for her in a poem. You've woken up on Christmas morning, 2018. What will you receive today? Won't you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Won't you turn from your sin and unbelief and believe upon him? Whoever believes in him will not perish, but they will wonderfully have everlasting life. If you have Christ, you have everlasting life. And if you don't have Christ, then you don't have everlasting life. And it's to be found only in him. Won't you turn to him here this morning and receive him? And start a whole new chapter in your life, which will go on forever.